Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. School is out, summer is in, and you may be trying to figure out what to do with the kids. Well, this year, there are many more options. Last year, not so much. Of course, we were in the middle of the pandemic, and now restrictions have been lifted, but you're not always left with a lot of time to plan. But we have some ideas for you tonight. Joining me to talk about this are Shakura Adamofanian. She is the executive director of Reading Partners DC, and Sonia Wellborn Rice, Prince George's County's director of stakeholder engagement. If you have a comment, you have a question about what to do with the kids this summer, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at H Fisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Sonia and Shakura, thank you both for joining the program.
Good evening. Thank you.
Sure thing. So, Shakura, I want to start with you, because one of the big struggles that a lot of parents are having every year, but this is particularly the case this year, is the academic intellectual slide that a lot of children encounter during the summer months. Well, we know that there has been a bit of a deficit as a result of the pandemic. From your perspective with Reading Partners DC, what do you suggest? Shakura, can you hear me? We're going to try to get her back. Let me start with you then, Stephanie. I know that Sonja, I'm sorry. We do know that there has been there has been this new announcement, I should say, in Prince George's regarding this new program. Can you talk to me about that?
I sure can. Thank you again for having me. We are super excited in the county executive's office. We launched our summer passport experience program yesterday. And it's, you know, as you mentioned earlier, we're trying to make sure that our kids just don't sit idle this summer. You know, we want to make sure that every child in the county can learn and socialize safely during the summer months in a structured environment, especially because we know last summer they didn't have a summer, and our kids have been cooped up for many months. And we know it can take an emotional toll on their well-being. So the county executive launched a program where we call it the three E's, where we're going to give an educational experience, an entrepreneurial experience, and some entertainment. You know, we know summer is a time for fun, and it's well-deserved for our youth to get a break in the summertime. And we want to transition safely back to some normalcy and a normal way of enjoying some of the activities in the summer. So,
now go ahead, please.
No, so we have the program is from for youth from ages 12 to 18. It's designed, and it was very intentional when we did this program, because we wanted to also, it's like a two-prong approach. We wanted to make sure that we incorporated businesses in this launch, because we know a lot of businesses have suffered. Children were not able to participate in your Six Flags or your some of your Sky Zone, some of the fun golf, the miniature golf that they like to do. And then the entrepreneurship to figure out, you know, what it is that I really want to do. You know, my media production or cybersecurity. So we partnered with some really great partners, and we came up with this program. And now it will run from June 28th to the middle of August.
So, how do you sign up? Because I do want to find out specifics about each of the options, but I think the thing that most people want to know is how do you sign up? How many slots are available? Are there any fees? Kind of give me the rundown for that.
So the best way to sign up for the program is to go to Eventbrite. We have an Eventbrite page. So if you go to Eventbrite and you type in Summer Passport, it will come up. As soon as it pops up for you, you pick your age category because we broke it down into age groups. Once you've done that, there are three options that you can choose from. You will choose an experience, you'll choose an education part, and you'll choose an entrepreneurship. Once you do that, you will get a ticket. From that point, after you receive your ticket, then you will come to our Sports and Learning Center and you'll pick up your passport, because we're going to show you, this is really like the real experience. Some of the classes and some of the options that we have that kids can sign up for is our cybersecurity, drones. We have, for as far as our educational piece, social media and web pages, how to build a web page. People, you know, our kids love to stay on social media, but we want to really show you what the infrastructure is to build that web page. Even going to Six Flags, we have a STEM component where to show you it's just not about an amusement park. What goes behind the scenes of an amusement park? So we have a day filled of an educational component at Six Flags. And then after you finish learning the ins and outs about the roller coasters, then you can enjoy riding them as well.
So let me make sure that I understand and that our listeners understand that there are these several components of the Summer Passport. And one of them, obviously, is at Six Flags. But where are they kind of scattered? How do you handle this? Because, you know, obviously, even though there have been restrictions that have been lifted and, you know, parents are still, you know, obviously concerned as we move out of the, you know, COVID pandemic situation. And as a result, you know, proximity is still an issue.
Well, as you know, and as you mentioned, that a lot of the restrictions have been lifted, but we're still operating in a safe, social distance type of manner. We will not be providing transportation, and some of our programs will be offered as a virtual experience as well. But the ones that are in person, we have made sure that each individual that participates in the program is definitely comfortable. The programs that we do have available are throughout Prince George's County. So we try to make them available regardless of what part of the county that you live in, whether it's the southern, northern, or the central part of the county. We will rest assured that we will do our level best to make sure that everyone feels comfortable. We are also providing the vaccine. And we have education and information about that as well. But we understand that parents are having some trepidation about bringing kids out. And then we have parents that are very hopeful and ready to have their kids participate in an activity like this as well.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about options for what to do with the kids this summer. Of course, restrictions are lifting. We seem to be coming in out of the pandemic a bit. And no one is shut in as we were last year. And we have some options for parents and for their children, to get their children out, not only from an educational perspective, but just get them out to do something a little fun, because Lord knows last year was not. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One other thing, Sonja, is there a fee?
There is a small fee, which is $20. The $20 would cover the whole experience, for every opportunity that you sign up for, and that $20 would get you your passport and would get you into those three opportunities that you select. So if you selected an educational component and you wanted to go to the financial literacy camp, or you wanted to go to the cybersecurity or Six Flags STEM program, you could get in for the $20, your entrepreneurship, and even for your entertainment. So we think that this is a bargain because we know that some of these amusement parks, that even Sky Zone that I've mentioned or Six Flags, that pass alone could cost you $65 just to get into the park. So the $20 is just to cover some of our operational costs.
There we go. Makes sense to me. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Shakura, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you so much. As I asked in the beginning, obviously a lot of parents are concerned about that. You know, the intellectual slide, and this is an issue that is not new, but we all know how things have been over the past 15 months or so, and so there may very well have been a deficit for a lot of children. From your perspective, what do you offer? What do you suggest?
Wonderful. So a couple of things. One, thank you for having me on the show tonight. I'm a huge fan, so I'm very excited. So I work with Reading Partners CDC. We are a literacy tutoring program, and what we do is empower the community to partner with schools to use an evidence-based curriculum to help kids in grades kindergarten through fourth grade catch up with their literacy skills. And so we work with kids who are anywhere from 6 months to 2 years behind in reading. And during the school year, we focus on building critical skills to help them excel at reading. But to your point, what parents can do over the summer, first and foremost, is to relax into the fact that parents, caregivers, you all are the child's first teacher. And there are things that you're probably already doing with your child that you can do, you can extend to continue to help them learn and grow. I would bucket all of these things into sort of two areas. The way to combat the slide is, one, exposure. Think about your community, especially Washington, D.C. Think about yourselves as tourists, right? Inviting and taking your child to some of the historical landmarks, engaging with some of the community museums, some of the Smithsonian's museums out here, but really inviting your child to take an adventure in your community and go and learn about things. The other thing that I think is really helpful and really accessible are the public libraries. We are so lucky to have a wonderful public library system here in D.C. And so children can go and get a library card if they don't have one and go and check out books. You can get physical books. You can get audio books. There's just so many resources out there that are available. And so I am a native Washingtonian, and I remember when my mom, at that time, she could send us to the library on our own to go and, you know, spend some time at the library and check out books. So those opportunities are available there.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. What are you going to do with the kids this summer? We have lots of ideas. Now, before I go to the phone lines, Sonia, I know we're going to let you go, but beforehand, let me get that information out about Summer Passport in Prince George's County. How can people sign up again, real quick?
Please go to the Eventbrite page, go to Eventbrite, and then type in Summer Passport. All the information will come up. We also have our social media page where you can go on at CEX, also Brooks, and that will give you all of the information about Summer Passport and everything else that we're doing in Prince George's County.
And it's 12 to 18-year-olds, right?
12 to 18-year-olds. June the 28th, the program will launch to the middle of August.
What about 57-year-olds like me? Because that sounds pretty good. I don't know. There are a couple of those programs. You know, I may have to get a fake ID and say I'm 18 because it sounds pretty good. Look, Sonia Wellborn writes, thank you so much for participating in the program. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me this evening.
Sure thing. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lily calling from, I guess we lost Lily. Let's talk to Ingram. Ingram, what's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to piggyback on what the young lady was saying just a moment ago about plugging into the library.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of great educational programs. There are, with the library system that I work in, there are adventure packs. So you don't have to, you know, parents don't have to invent something. It's already there. They can check it out and explore the areas, the neighborhoods. They're based on different different subjects and whatever. So, you know, and lots of different resources, lots of summer reading programs there with incentives for children. So it's a wonderful resource. It's free, and I'd love to see more children of color and families of color plugging in.
Well, you said the library system you work in. Which library system is that?
I'm actually in Virginia.
Okay, well, we like people in Virginia, too. And they're going to be around this summer, and they certainly need, you know, options as well. And so, you know, any of those suggestions and options for families who are just itching to have their children do something other than sitting cooped up in the house as they were 1 year ago is very, very helpful. So thank you so much for your suggestion. When we come back, more suggestions and what to do with your children at home this summer. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR, but we will be back on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2. That's the app. Download it to your smartphone and hear the program in its entirety. And of course, on 98.3 FM. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about what to do with the kids this summer. Not a lot of options this time last year, but now that the COVID restrictions have been lifted, even though we still have to be safe, there are so many options, so many suggestions for you, and we have plenty of them tonight. We are continuing this conversation with Shakura Adamo-Fanian. She is the executive director of Reading Partners DC, and joining us now, Stephanie Carter, author of Trials and Successes: Effective Teaching and Learning at Home. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stephanie, let me bring you into this part of the conversation. You have homeschooled your children for a decade or so. You may have had a big jump on a lot of parents this time last year. But this summer, what is your plan for, you know, the children in your family? And what do you suggest for parents who don't want to see that academic intellectual slide this summer?
Well, first, thank you very much for having me on this evening.
Sure.
My oldest son is going into the 11th grade, and my youngest son is going into the 9th. And my game plan is to do college prep with them. I've been doing college preparation courses with them for the last 2 years, and I'm going to continue on because it is around that time when they don't have to focus on too many other subjects, so we can focus mainly on preparing for the SAT, the ACT, whatever college preparation or college standardized tests that they are going to be required to take because they are homeschooling or they are homeschoolers. So that is our game plan with it this summer, and it's been like that for the last couple of years. Mm.
So with that kind of intense academic interaction this summer, how are you going to balance that? Because, as I said, last year, everybody was shut down, shut in, mm-hmm. behind closed doors. That, mm-hmm. as important as it is, it does not sound like a whole lot of fun. And I think that a lot of people, as I said earlier, are really kind of itching to get out. So what do you suggest for families like yours who are doing mm-hmm. this big academic prep for senior years or even earlier school years, but you want to have fun? And so what's the plan?
Well, who said that college preparation is not fun?
I did it. It wasn't fun. Come on now, Stephanie. Who said college preparation wasn't fun?
It really is all in how you teach it. And that's the thing. And that's one thing about homeschooling is that you're able to customize the education to your child. You customize it to their strengths into what they enjoy. So, for instance, one of the ways that parents can really get their children to keep up with academics, even through the summer, is through, for instance, if they love sports. Okay, there are so many different ways that you can teach mathematics, geography, just by sports. For instance, you know, if something like the Los Angeles Lakers, okay, that's something that you can introduce geography. Hey, Los Angeles is in California. And then you can talk about the statistics as far as shooting percentages. Okay, how do you calculate those shooting percentages? So what you can do is you can apply and you can customize a particular subject based on your child's interest to make it fun.
I'm listening.
You know, you have to be... As I said, you have to be creative. Even if you can use your typical board game like Clue. Clue actually teaches logic skills.
Mm-hmm.
You can play Monopoly and teach investment and money and banking. So there are so many things that you can do. Even cooking. You know, there's a lot of math and there's a lot of English just by cooking a meal. So you have to kind of think outside the box a little bit and know that just what you need sometimes is right in your home, and you can make that fun.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about what to do with the kids this summer. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. So, you know, Shakura, to Stephanie's point about that intellectual academic slide, you know, from your perspective, how serious do you believe it is this year? And how do you, particularly for some of the younger children, how do you make that interesting? How do you make that fun? How do you keep them engaged instead of, you know, having them feel like their minds have turned to mush? Because this has been a difficult educational time for any child, whether they were homeschooled, certainly, or expecting to be in school and weren't.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have hit the nail right on the head. There is a tremendous slide that is going to take place. And again, it's just because of compounded reasons, right? We have the loss of instructional time, and you know, for some kids, they've been out of formal school or school as we remember it for a year and some change. Other students, this was their first experience in school and getting the full benefit. So now you tack on the summer. there's certainly so much to be lost there. But I think the thing that caregivers and parents just need to remember is that they are uniquely positioned to foster the love of learning in their child, and they can do that by tapping into their child's interests. What does your child love to do? What do they care about? So for example, if you have a budding artist in your home, I have a one-year-old, and she is a budding artist. She particularly likes the color on the walls. I both want to foster and nurture that, but I also want to focus on paint. But what I would do with her, if she was a bit older, is travel around our city and look at some murals and have her paint that mural on your drawing pad, or have them work and design a mural for themselves. Go through and figure out what the process is to get some commission for that. So there's just a lot of life skills that parents can use, and just paying attention to what their child cares about, and really encouraging them to go out into the community and figure out how to contribute. I think the other things that parents need to remember is that you also are your first example. And so, again, we worry about the learning loss, we worry about keeping kids engaged, but example for reading, if you want your child to read, you have to first be the example of that. And I'm not saying you have to read a 1,000-page document every day, but are you picking up a magazine? Do you pause and pick up the newspaper and read a bit, or are you reading articles and discussing them with your child? So those are things that I think parents just need to remember. Again, it's not about being perfect, but it is about exposing your child to as many opportunities as possible, and have them practice those things that they need to have in order to be successful in the school year, and your child will be ready to go in the fall. Mm.
And Stephanie, I would imagine that some people, particularly now, may have a lot of misconceptions about homeschooling, in that you're not just sitting in the basement in front of a, let me tell my age, a blackboard or a whiteboard or something like that. But to the point about summer and this educational progress process that you employ, does your technique shift during the summer months? Or do you employ other kinds of strategies that take your children out of the house, as opposed to what some may assume they are in the house, let's say pre-COVID, for, 4 months and 4 months, fall and spring? Talk to me about any change that you might make during the summer.
Well, let me preface this by saying I'm the type of homeschool mom that we barely stayed in the house.
Mm-hmm.
We did a lot of our education, a lot of our learning through going to museums and going to different homeschool co-ops.
What is a homeschool co-op?
Yes, a homeschool co-op is a whole bunch of homeschoolers meet, and maybe a church or some gathering where they learn, or almost like take classes with other homeschoolers. So that kind of gets rid of the myth of homeschoolers are not socialized enough. So they attend those types of events. But as far as your question, does my strategy change during the summer? Yes, it does, because I need a break as well.
Oh.
So our days are not as long. Plus, I have taught my sons to be self-learners, so I do not always have to teach them everything that they are learning. Sometimes they are learning themselves. So I give them more of a flexibility during the summertime to learn different things that they and to pursue their own interests.
Give me an example of that, because I think that may be touching upon, what I was kidding you about, earlier, because I think that some people will say, well, my goodness, if she's homeschooling, you know, all summer, boy, that's just a killjoy. And so help me understand, and our listeners, you know, understand how that self-learning process, you know, works. Is it, I'm sure it is not one of those situations that just turns the brain to mush, and really does perpetuate not only the intellectual and academic growth, but as a parent myself, you know, I'm all for fun too, particularly during the summer. And let's be clear, this also is about really helping with the mental health and welfare of our children, considering what they've been through these 15 months.
Right. Well, I think the thing is that I guess my think of education is different from others, because one thing about our children is that they're learning every day, whether it's good or bad, and they're going to learn. And my job as a parent is to kind of guide them into what, guide them and guide their learning. So it's not something that is, you know, what a lot of people think is a traditional, you know, from 9 to 3 or from 9 to 2, it just sticks totally on what they're learning or what they need to understand. But I, especially during the summertime, I'm just guiding them in a way to what they have to learn. And it can be fun, and it doesn't have to be mush. And I understand the mental breakdown, or not breakdown, but just a mental, the jarring mentally of our kids, especially during these months, it's got to be devastating. But that's when, as parents, we have to make them understand and have them understand that this is a process. This is something that we go through, but they can also understand and have just an understanding of that this is not going to be all in all. This is not going to be the end of it. We're going through, but there's something that's going to be greater on the other side of this. That's why I try to instill the hope in my children and just have them continue to understand that they're still going to have to live life. And so that's what, and the education and the learning, whatever they're learning, will help them get through it.
Yeah. I need to take a break, but when we come back, I do want to talk a little bit more about avoiding that, you know, that slide this summer as we recraft the minds of our children this summer, not only academically, but also, you know, mentally, and look into, you know, that big word that everyone, including the mothers like Shakira and Stephanie, need. We need some fun. We need a break this summer. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue talking about what to do with the kids this summer. My guests are Shakira Adamo Fadian, and she's the executive director of Reading Partners DC. Also, Stephanie Carter, author of Trials and Successes, Effective Teaching and Learning at Home. Shakira, are you concerned with, you know, the big push to make sure that young people are doing reading, that may be competing with the urge to do nothing but fun this summer? And is it possible that, you know, some of the other, you know, programs that may be offered, you believe should offer some kind of reading intake?
Sort of juxtaposition of fun and reading and academic enrichment. I think rather than putting them against each other, what we ought to do is really talk about how you can infuse learning and having fun, because that's really what we're doing. What we're simply asking parents to do is to, in the moments where young people are exploring and tapping into their interests, ask them questions about what they're experiencing in the moment. Encourage them to journal, either through writing or drawing, or encourage them to pick up a book and learn more about the thing that sparks their interest. So what I think is important, and what will be important now and moving forward, is how can we absolutely center the child to have fun and wellness and rest, but also in that process really help them to think about, well, how else can I learn more about the thing that I'm so excited? And so that's the role that I see, where reading plays a huge role, where taking trips within the community and having dialogue, those are the things that I think can really help a child see the opportunities that exist both while resting and having fun, but also pushing themselves to explore the world around them.
Mm-hmm. And to that point, Stephanie, as you said, with some of, you know, with your children, yeah, I know you mentioned college prep, you know, and the like, and making that fun. But as a parent, and not just as a homeschooling parent, but one who is, you know, deeply involved in the educational process, what do you suggest to provide that kind of balance, particularly this summer?
Provide the balance as far as a parent.
You're a parent. You've got kids, and they're not adults yet, and certainly, as I mentioned, you know, outside of that academic slide in the educational process, and making sure that all of those needs are fulfilled, and it sounds like you are doing, you know, an excellent job. But, you know, from your perspective, as you know, as a parent, what's the other stuff? What are you going to do with your kids that's not going to involve education? That is just as creative as the things that are involving education, particularly this summer.
Well, this summer, not last summer, of course, because of COVID, that
exactly.
We travel.
Right.
My husband is a gospel artist, and we attend a lot of the places that he goes to as far as workshops and things like that. And so we travel with him. But even with that, I still find a way to include learning. So it's almost like I can't really break away from it because I've been doing it for almost 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we do travel. We go to amusement parks. We go fishing. I do take that time. Like I said, I need a break too, to just do the other things. Plus, I also own a business as well. So that is also break from that, from the education standpoint of it. But I like to cook. I like to go shopping. I like to do other things. So I realize that I also do have a life.
Hey,
well,
how about that? I knew that part was coming. That's why you mentioned the shopping part.
Yes.
We're not talking about grocery shopping.
Yes, I don't shop that much, but when I shop, I shop. But, yeah, so because, you know, as I said, I am a woman as well as a mother and a wife. But it's so interwoven, you know, it's kind of hard to break away. But those are the things that I like to do just to give myself a little break before the fall comes.
And I would imagine, you know, you said something that really it struck me with your husband being a gospel artist and now this summer planning on attending conferences that were probably non-existent last year. And so,
absolutely.
Which goes back to that whole mental piece, not just obviously for him or for you, but for your children, if they attend, that it gives them an opportunity to have a sense of normalcy, that pre-COVID normalcy, where they will be able to hear singing in person, to gather and to connect with people in person when essentially they haven't done that in almost 2 years.
Absolutely. And I think this thing, like I said before COVID hit, we did a lot of going to the Smithsonian museums. And that's one of the things that they missed more than anything else is being able to get out and do things like that. So being able to do even things like that will help them so much mentally, and as well as, of course, gathering with their friends and all of that. So that will help not only children, but also us as adults.
No question about that. And Shakura, to that point about the reading piece and really trying to make books come alive, not just for the children, but, you know, not all parents are particularly interested in reading. Mm-hmm. My parents read to me. I read to my daughter. My daughter is an adult now. She's a young adult, but she still does read. And I think it is not just so important that it is a feast for the eyes, but it really is giving, you know, books and the written word an opportunity to be a feast for the senses.
Absolutely. And I agree that that is really, you know, and again, our parents have, we are pulled in so many different directions. So for some, that just might not be something that you're able to do. But again, this is where leaning on community resources is really important. At local libraries, there are books on tape. So even if you are not able to read to your child, you could take out or rent out a book on tape or get access to a website where someone can read to your child, right? But it's just about, again, exposing your child to that. If you have older siblings in the home and making that a part of the evening routine, perhaps the older sibling is reading to the child. But it's all of those things are super important. And I also want to comment on something you said in terms of the importance also of certainly combating the academic side and all, you know, and being out of school for the last year and some change. But I think you bring up a really good point. And one of the things I want to encourage parents this summer is to also do a bit of research about the act of resting and managing stress, right? So what I'm talking a little bit more about is, like, what are some of the activities or things that young people can do in the moment when they're managing a ton of stress, right? So, you know, thinking about yoga or meditation or even teaching your children about deep breathing, equipping them and teaching them the tools right now in summer ahead of school is going to be really helpful to them, because the transition back to school, back to what we knew, it's going to be a transition for everyone. Mm-hmm. And so the ability for parents to equip young people with the tools that they need to be able to manage their stress or be able to at least identify and express their emotion will really set them up for success next fall. So really want to encourage parents. I know, you know, it could be, you know, kind of weird or hokey, but deep breathing is a powerful tool to teach children. I teach my one-year-old now, who will scream because she dropped her own apple, and we will practice breathing because that's a technique I want her to learn for self-management around stress and stressful situations. And I really think young people need it heading back into the fall.
Hey, not a bad idea. By the way, Shakura, when your daughter gets a little older and becomes this great child prodigy artist, I hope I get a discount on some of her
you got it.
Okay, yeah.
You know. She will commission her first piece. Don't worry.
Straight off the refrigerator in the magnets, right?
There you go.
I want to thank all of our guests, Shakura Adamo-Fanian, Stephanie Carter, and Sonia Wellborn-Rice for talking to us. Hopefully we're able to help you get some ideas about what to do with the kids this summer, because it is going to be a great one, certainly better than last year. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, June 22nd. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard. Good night.